Thank you for tuning in to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible on KEQX 89.7. The views, opinions, beliefs, and content expressed on the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible are the sole production of the Harrison Moore Expedition and its agents. The views, opinions, and beliefs expressed may not be the same as those on KEQX or any of its agents. This show is brought to you by the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, and the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs.
Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. I'm David Harris, and here with my good friend and partner on this radio program, Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas. I am currently preaching at the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas. I say that in jest. I hope to continue there for a good long while. I've been there for about 7 years now. And we have been on this radio show now for about 4.5 years, I believe. I believe it'll be 5 years when we come up into October. Seems like time passes very, very quickly. This is a live call-in talk show, by the way. The number to call is 254-445-2473. Let me give it to you again. 445-2473. That's area code 254. Now, we want to give a little credit to Ryan Smithy as well. If you are in a place where you cannot pick this up on the air, you can always go to the webpage or the website at www.harrisonmoore.org. And if you'll go on there and just follow the directions, you'll get us live on the internet. Ryan Smithy, the preacher at the 4th and Stewart Street Church of Christ in Brownwood, Texas, is the webmaster for that page, and it's a beautiful page and put together very well. There are also some other archives there, some older programs that you can go in and click on and listen to any one of the programs that have aired here for a good long while. We encourage you, as you listen today, to call in. We are currently, by the way, we want to give another plug for the KEQX and KQXE, I believe it is, 89.7 and 91.9. We now reach 91.1, excuse me, 91.1, 89.7. Either one of those channels will get you tuned into the very same program. And the 91.1 reaches all the way up now into just about Abilene, all the way down to Goldthwaite. And 89.7 goes closer to Lake Waco, I believe it is. And they both reach nearly to Weatherford, Texas. Some people pick it up even in Benbrook. So there's quite a better range now than what we've had in the past. And we encourage you to tell your friends to tune in and call in and give us your questions or your comments on what we're speaking about. Now, last week, we began speaking about evolution and the problems that we're having with evolution. And one of the great problems, Tom, that evolution brings is that it is a teaching of a false theory, but the teaching is not taught as a theory, it is taught as a fact, and it is taught by force to our children in public schools. And this has been going on for 5, 6, 7 generations now, and it has really reared its head here lately, and especially in my Bible studies that I've had with several people. The younger generation has now been so indoctrinated into this evolutionary theory that the real problems of evolution have reared their ugly head. And one of the things that I've always been able to do is sit down with a Bible and show somebody with the Bible, with God's teaching, God's revealed word there, what one must do in order to be saved. That's not a problem at all. But now the problem is here, with this evolutionary theory being taught as a fact, now we have people discrediting the Bible as God's word, as the authoritative word of God, because if you believe in evolution, you cannot believe in creation. If you believe in creation, you must believe in the Bible as God's inerrant word, because Genesis chapter 1 starts out with God's creation, and we just go on from there. And we talked last week a little bit. There have been a lot of people out there that would like to say you can take the first 12 chapters out of the book of Genesis and then you won't have a problem with evolution. Oh, yes, you will, because the evolutionary theory is discredited in the Bible with a creation fact all throughout the Bible from the front to the back, Tom.
Exactly. You know, and Jesus said in John chapter 5, verses 46 and 47, "For if you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my word?"
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a very critical passage with regard to what we're talking about tonight. Because Jesus says Moses wrote of him. If you don't believe what Moses wrote, and not only did Moses write about the coming of the Messiah, but Moses also wrote that God created the heavens and the earth in six literal days. Jesus says, if you don't believe that, then you can't believe what Moses said about me. And so we see then that if you believe in evolution, you can't believe in Jesus, you can't believe in God's holy word. Those are the consequences to believing in evolution.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Jesus also said in John chapter 3 and verse 12, "If I told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things?" Well, when God said through inspiration by Moses there that God created the heavens and the earth,
mm-hmm.
those are physical things. If you don't believe those basic, fundamental, physical things that I've told you in God's word, how are you ever going to believe when I tell you about the spiritual matters found in the New Testament, for example? And so we see then the logical conclusion or the end result of believing in evolution, David. Well, you just cannot believe in the Bible. You cannot believe in God. You cannot believe in Jesus as our Savior if you believe in evolution. That's how critical this is.
Well, the thing that we have been impressed with as early as junior high biology courses is that Darwin's theory of evolution has been taught to our children. And we've been through the classes in our junior high and high school years. We've been taught these things, and the teachers really have never had an opportunity to teach the creation side of it, mm-hmm. because it is according to the state, it would be a violation of the separation of church and state. And that's not really true. The problem is this theory of evolution is not taught as a theory at all. It is taught as a fact. And we're going to see as we go through this program, and we had some calls last week. One call in particular said we need to get more into the particulars about the evidences of creation versus the evidences of evolution. And we're going to try to do that today. Last week, and by the way, we're going to give this number out very often because we had some callers for a couple of weeks now that can't remember the number, and we're going to pull it out there, 254-445-2473, if you'd like to be a part of this conversation. We also had a caller last week, Tom, that John, if you're listening out there, John is an engineer. He was a petroleum engineer, and he at one time considered evolutionary theory to be true. But the more he found in science, the more evidence that he had to believe that God's word was true. John, if you're there today, what we would love for you to do is call back in and give us some of those particulars about the evidences that you ran into as a petroleum engineer that would give credence to the word and the will of God that is revealed for us here.
You know, David, as I think about this evolution that's being taught in our schools, I remember back when I was in school, creationism was not taught,
mm-hmm.
but evolution was taught as a theory.
Mm-hmm.
But now we have progressed to the point that it is no longer being taught as a theory, but is being taught as a scientific fact.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be seeing here in a little while that cannot be the case. And if it were the case, then the Bible would be wrong.
Right.
You know, if for no other reason to disallow and to disbelieve in evolution, if you believe in the Bible, you cannot believe. You cannot believe in evolution. And when the evolution denies the Bible, it's also going to deny the Creator. And that's the progression that's going to take place. When you don't believe in the Bible and you don't believe in God, well, you're going to have a whole lot of difficulty in society, aren't we, David?
No doubt. And what I think what we see right now is the evidence of a deteriorating society, partially, and maybe the majority of our deterioration comes from this teaching of this Darwin's evolutionary theory. When you look at it, if you believe in evolution, you're going to have to first deny creation, which is in the Bible.
Yes.
Then you're going to have to discredit those biblical teachings because they are in the Bible. Then you're going to have to deny God because the information that you just have just discredited is going to affirm that God does exist. And then you're going to have to deny morality. What was it that Darwin said to us when he came up with this theory of evolution? What was his final conclusion about morality in general, Tom?
Well, David, when he was grappling with the moral implications of his theory, evolution, that is Charles Darwin, he arrived at the only conclusion that can be inferred logically from this, and he stated, "A man who has no assured or ever-present belief in the existence of a personal God or of a future existence with retribution and reward can have for his rule of life, as far as I can see, only to follow those impulses and instincts which are the strongest or which seem to him to be the best." Now, he inferred from all this, David, that evolution, the clear consequences to it, when you perfectly understand evolution, is that there is no God, no God worth having existing, no life after death, no ultimate foundation for ethics exists, no ultimate meaning in life exists, and then human free will is non-existence. So we see, David, if there is no God, as Darwin admitted, evolution implies then that humans are not bound by any moral standard other than the instincts that each human desires to follow. And David, that's what we call today humanism.
Right.
Doing what you feel is best, what's best for you, and not caring about how it affects anybody else. That is a natural consequence of evolution. Darwin realize that.
Right. 254-445-2473. Now, based upon what you just got through reading there, parents, grandparents, I really want you to get a hold of this, because our children are being taught that evolution is true. Now, if the logical consequence, the final analysis of the whole thing is going to be this: there is no God, there is no standard of right and wrong. And yet throughout the scriptures we are told that man is not even qualified to direct his steps.
Exactly.
Jeremiah chapter 10 verse 23, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself, it is not in man that walks to direct his steps." But if you don't believe the Bible, that has absolutely no bearing. So if you have no God, you have no creation, you have no word of God, now you have no morality, what is wrong with abortion? What is wrong with homosexuality? What is wrong with rape? I mean, who's to say what rape is? What is wrong with incest? We're going to live here like a bunch of dogs if we don't have a standard of right and wrong, and it cannot be man's standard.
Exactly. And as you mentioned, this is being instilled in the minds of our people our young people from a very, very early, even preschool, when our kids are watching cartoons and the evolutionary idea is being manifest there, even in the cartoons, from early kindergarten years all the way through elementary, junior high, high school. This is being pushed on our kids. And when evolution is pushed, as we've mentioned several times so far, no Bible, no God, therefore no morality. And we see the consequences of that not only in our world around us, we're seeing it in our schools, the way our kids are acting. Some schools now, you have to go through a metal detector to even get into class and type of thing. Where does it all come from? It all stems from evolution, because evolution teaches, in reality, there is no moral code of conduct that a man has to abide by, and we see that taking place. Again, our number to call is 254-445-2473. We'd like you to chime in tonight with a question or comment about revolution, about evolution, because this is really affecting our society. And you know, David, I believe it's also affecting politics as well.
Oh, there's no doubt. How many times have you heard, Tom, people say, older people, I just can't believe how much things have changed in the last 50 years. And they have progressively gotten worse and worse and worse. And the reason that they have gotten worse is because of a failure on our part to teach the standard of right and wrong. When that evolutionary theory comes in, there is no standard of right and wrong. And when we look at this, we take it from the top and we let it filter down. What happens is we've got leaders now, political leaders, from the president right on down, who are thinking in terms of no morality versus morality of the Bible.
Exactly. And you know, when we have that kind of mentality, well, you know, the Bible says that righteousness exalteth the nation. When you get away from God and the Bible, then we're going to have a nation that's going to fall. When you look at other nations like Russia, who was very atheistic, and how the people had to live, and morals were gone. Well, that's what's going to be happening to us, and is happening, if we don't start stemming the tide of evolution. Now, I believe we have a caller on the line. A caller, if you'll give us your name and comment, we'd greatly appreciate it.
This is Robert.
Robert?
This is Robert.
You what?
Yes, you're on the air.
Y'all are hitting everything on the money, which y'all always do every week, and we appreciate what y'all do for this 1 hour a week to give us the truth of the gospel of Christ and Christianity of what's happening to our world. But you have hit it on the money where it's affecting our schools and our teachers, the way our state lawmakers are making the laws harder for them to teach the children Christianity and the truth in schools. Because they're not getting it at home, they need to get it somewhere else. Because the times have changed so much. And I'd just like to hear Dave and Tom's opinion on that.
Okay, Robert, thank you for your call. And you really hit on something here that is really affected. We've got a vicious cycle going on here. We have... now in this country that we live in, we have somewhere around a 50% divorce rate. That's not even counting the individuals who decide that they want to, and there's no other way to put it but this, they decide to just shack up with one another and call it a family. That doesn't even count these. Well, they have, just as you pointed out, a lack of truth taught to them because they have no standard where to start with in the first place. And so when you have a lack of truth given to our children at home, and then all that you have at home is what they see their parents, whatever that parent is made up of, what they see in their parents and what they view on their television, then you send them to school, and the school inundates them with a factual or a non-factual theory that we came from a bunch of pond scum, and you feed this to this child, and you let this child grow up and then raise some children of his own and go in the same vicious cycle again. What you have eventually is what Paul talked to Timothy about in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, you have your conscience seared with a hot iron.
Exactly. You know, there's two things about this, David. First of all, our kids are not getting taught what they want to need to be taught because parents are lazy. They're not teaching them the truth of God's word. And secondly, many times parents are not teaching them the truth about God and his word because they're also victims of this evolutionary teaching that's been going on because they, as a child, was taught that.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe their parents were taught that. And so there is no knowledge of the truth concerning God and creation. And we see things just waxing worse and worse. And as Robert mentioned, it's having a very horrible effect upon our schools and our teachers. Where teachers are not permitted to teach creationism. They have to stick with the textbook. Now, I know some teachers, and I know one in Hamilton that's going to teach the truth on this subject, but they have to kind of go around Jack Robinson's barn sometimes to just teach the truth on these things because of the way our society looks on this and the way our government is now pushing this evolutionary theory, and it is a theory, a false one at that, but it's being pushed in our schools, it's being taught in our schools, and as we're going to notice later on, if we get to it today, hopefully, maybe, it's going to be up to the parents to stem the tide of this because they're not going to get it in schools.
Well, that's very true. And to compound all of that, to compound the evil with all of that, now take your politics. And this evolutionary theory has inundated itself in our political system. Now we have, because we don't have a system of morality that is based upon the Bible, because of this thing that they keep shouting, separation of church and state, and we cannot incorporate any of that, we are getting farther and farther away from the constitutional document upon which this country was founded, which were the whole and the entire document, the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, both of those documents were created based upon the principles of God that come out of the Bible. And so now we've got the immoral politician that is proclaiming what he has learned and wants to make it law, and it is filtering down to the man on the street.
We got another caller on the line. Caller, if you'll give us your name and your question or comment, we'd appreciate it.
This is Robert again.
Robert, yes, Robert.
Okay,
turn your radio down, Robert, please.
I have.
Okay.
Okay, y'all just hit a button. Y'all have hit everything on the priorities of what we need to speak about. But let's get back to how many of these lawmakers that say they're Christians are sitting in Austin making these laws that we can't teach our children in our education of our classrooms. Because they're making laws, but they go out and do the wrong thing half the time and then come back and say they're Christian when they're not because of what they say in the paper and do something different. And then the kids read that and it gives them the wrong example.
Well, Robert, you really hit a real button now. And we go back again to the Bible and what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15. He says, by their fruits you shall know them. They can proclaim to the high hilt all they want to what they want to say that they are, Christian, non-Christian, Muslim, whatever it is that they want to say they are. But by their fruits you shall know them. What is their idea about abortion? What is their idea about homosexuality? What is their idea about morality in general? We've heard all of our lives that you cannot enforce morality, but you can. And we have always enforced morality. When we have a penalty for murder, we are enforcing morality. So we can just take it right on down the line there. But by their fruits you shall know them. And in this season of electing candidates, and I don't care if it's the dog catcher, that individual needs to be able to say what he believes is right and what he believes is wrong and back it up with Scripture.
And I agree 100%. But let me just turn this little knob. What we need to do is put back in the classroom sometime prayer, which there is some that say it, but you got people leading schools that won't allow that prayer to happen. And you can't say a prayer And let's go back as far as doing this, Dave and Tom. Listen, look, we have so many having babies in high school, children having children, and they need to wake up and maybe come back and teach Adam and Eve the basics of the Bible back in the education because they're not getting it at home. Maybe some of the lawmakers need to come out and look at reality.
You know, you're exactly right with, you know, in the early years of our founding fathers, they taught Bible in the schools. And many of the colleges that began were really Bible schools, preaching schools, if you were. And we have gotten so far away from that. Again, it's because this evolutionary teaching has come in. And, you know, Robert, when a person teaches evolution, you can't have evolution and Bible being taught at the same time because they cannot coexist.
No, they cannot.
And because our leaders have decided that evolution is the way to go, well, they're going to push the Bible out. And if you got evolution being taught, why should you pray? You know, why should you teach any kind of morality? Let's just pass out condoms everywhere. Well, that's the consequence of this evolution being taught in our schools. And, Robert, you know exactly what's going on, and we need to do a better job in the voting ballots and also in teaching at home in this regard.
You know, I just want to say something. And I hope you don't get upset with what I'm about to say, but maybe we all just need to take a minute out here in the cross timbers and look at the reality of schools and what's going on. And the parents need to get behind it and get a movement that there is a God that cares. There is a Lord that does care about the teachers and the politicians, but we need to coincide to what the Bible says and move forward. I don't know if I made sense on this, but sit back and think what I just said, and all three people work together, and we can move this country forward, and it takes a baby step and a large step and a giant step, but it all starts in Washington, D.C., where we don't have a real person that giving us the guidance that needs to be guided to trickle down to these states.
Well, I'd like to address a couple of points there. I think it starts at the reverse, Robert. I think it starts at the local level and works its way up. And what we see now is the fact that many of us have absconded our duties to look at the local level politician and demand from the local level that is right here in our own backyard that this individual believes in the principles of godly morality, that this individual believes that abortion is wrong, that homosexuality is wrong, and that the principles of the Bible are going to guide him, because it is from the local level that we reach up there to that top dog who right now believes in nothing that the Bible has to teach. And so if we start at the local level and demand it at the local level, we will get it at the county level, we will get it at the state level, and we will eventually get it at the federal level. And at that point, now we can do something, and I do believe it's going to take baby steps. We didn't get here in this position that we're in overnight. It took a while.
And maybe we should back up even further than that. Before we get into politics, we get into the home,
mm-hmm.
we get into the schools, and then into politics. But that's where we're going to have to start, and we're going to have to unite, as Robert mentioned in prayer. We're going to have to unite in using God's Word as our guide. We're going to have to unite in teaching our families, and we're going to have to unite in standing behind our teachers and allowing them to teach the truth concerning creationism. And until we do that, we're not going to be able to get much further, I don't believe.
Well, and it goes back, and I'm just kind of off the subject, but let me just touch this because it could make sense in the long run. We had the STAR testing that we test for 48 days for one test, and it tells the kid how they're going to do in the future. Well, they need to take that 45 days and put it back in a regular education and teaching them how to be ready for life and not. Some of these kids ain't going to make it to a senator or a high-dollar job. It's a low-end child, but they need the love of God and the Christians at home and starting at the home church to get where they need to go.
Yeah, I agree. It all starts with morality and religion and God and the Bible. And it didn't matter how much science you know or how much math you know or how well you speak English or can write. If you're not a good moral person according to God's word, if you've not done what he says to become a Christian, then all that other stuff doesn't matter, does it, Robert?
No. You know, some people say I'm not great because I don't attend a church, but I do read my Bible. That's my choice, but at least I'm reading it to understand it.
Well, you know, if a person also is reading their Bible to understand it, then they're going to realize they need to be a part of the Lord's church. And so, you know, that comes with reading your Bible. You know, a lot of people, David, have the idea, Jesus only, but not in the organized religion. Well, Jesus died for the church, and so, you know, we need to realize that, too. And I think that's part of getting back to God and the Bible and also stemming the tide of evolution is to get back to what Jesus said and getting together as God's people. You know, you can't unite together and fight the evils of the world if you're not together. And in the Lord's church, that allows us that opportunity to fight as a unified group against the evils that, as we're talking about today, is evolution is putting forth in our world today. Robert, well, really appreciate it. You've had some good comments. You got anything else you want to add to it?
No, I just want to say this. I appreciate what y'all do, and I want to thank Sam for giving y'all that 1 hour. And I know he's probably sitting there listening to this, but Sam has the neatest radio station in the state of Texas to come to let y'all do this, and I wish we could get more sponsors to give y'all 2 hours. And it's the truth of what y'all do on Monday night, and we appreciate what y'all do, and God bless y'all.
Well, maybe Robert, Sam will just let us have 2 hours for the same price.
Hey, knowing Sam, he's getting a good lesson, too, learning all the truth.
Well, we appreciate your call, Robert. And we're up against a time crunch here, so we're going to take a little break, and we'll continue our thoughts on evolution on the other side of the break. And remember, the number to call is 254-445-2473.
Brethren, we have met.
Maybe you have heard someone say, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. As good as that may sound, it does not properly reflect the truth. The psalmist David declared, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Every time we read the Bible, we have access to the very mind of God, 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 13. If we refuse to do the will of the Father, Jesus will say in judgment, "I never knew you, depart from me." The true attitude we should have toward the Holy Scripture should be, "God said it, that settles it whether I believe it or not." Do you believe God's word? For you, does that settle the matter concerning religion once and for all? Are you living by the Word of God? The Park Heights Church of Christ would like to welcome you to come and worship with us. We have Bible studies for all ages each Sunday at 9:30 a.m. And our worship times are each Sunday at 10:25 a.m. and also at 6 p.m. We also have Bible study for all ages each Wednesday at 7 p.m. And at the Park Heights Church of Christ, we stand in the old paths and speak the truth in love.
Someday when my last line is written.
Perhaps you've been on a path or road that leads to nowhere. Maybe you have been down that path, and perhaps you feel like you're on that path right now. But you don't have to be. We need to be walking on the old paths and the narrow way of Christ so as not to end up in a knothole of destruction. The path that leads to nowhere. Friends, make the level path of thy feet, and let thy ways be established. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 26. Walk in the ways of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice, and a highway shall be there, and a way it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for the redeemed, the wayfaring men. Yea, fools shall not err therein. I'm David Harris from the Hillcrest Church of Christ, and I invite you to worship with us every Sunday morning. Bible classes beginning at 9:30, worship services at 10:30, and midweek Bible classes at 7 p.m. Please make plans to attend and worship with us.
Welcome back to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. My name is Tom Moore, and I'm here with my good friend David Harris, and we're talking right now about evolution. Remember, the number to call is 254-445-2473. We've been talking about the problem that evolution brings to our society. We've talked about how that it denies a creation and how it discredits the Bible and how it also denies God. And as we were looking at, as we came to our break, the consequence to all of this in denying the credibility of the Bible and denying God, you also deny that we have a moral standard.
Mm-hmm.
And we looked at a quote a while ago from Charles Darwin when he was looking at the implications of his theory. He realized that with this idea of evolution, there would then therefore be no God, no life after death, no ethics exist. There would be no ultimate meaning in life, and that a man would be no better than an animal. When we believe those kinds of things, David, we're going to see that our society is just going to go down into the gutter.
Mm-hmm.
And as we look around, we see that very thing taking place. We need to realize, David, that the psalmist said in the long ago, righteousness and justice are the foundation of thy throne. Loving kindness and truth go up before thy face. It's righteousness that is the foundation of God's throne. When you take away morality, then you're going to take away the righteousness of God's throne, the righteousness of the world that we're living in. And then when you take all those things away, David, then you have what you have is men living as they want to.
Right.
Nothing more than a mere animal.
Well, you know, that righteousness is a word that our media has taken and tried to make it a kind of a bad word. They want to say that all those religious people over there, they think they're just so righteous. Well, there is nothing wrong with being righteous. Righteous, all in the world that means is to be right according to God. So what it does, it throws us right back into God's standard. And God's standard and God's justice, as you just read in that 89th Psalm, verse 14, that standard is the standard of life for us to live by. When we deny God, then we will create a God of our own. And normally what happens is when people deny God, they create themselves as their own God, and that falls into the humanism. Now, God created us in His image, but when we create a God, we create that God in our own image.
Exactly.
In the ancient world, what they had there, and those created gods by man, what they had was a physical, warring, immoral, inaccessible, uncaring, and unconcerned God. Now, why was that? Well, that was the only way that it could be, because they created their God in their own image, in their own human image, not in the image of God, but in their human image. And when we do that, what we're going to get is nothing better than what we are.
Exactly. You know, and that's why Paul said the very thing he said in Romans chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. He says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and my supplication to God for them is that they may be saved, for I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge." Now, notice this application. "For being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God." Now, when we make a parallel here, David, to evolution, what we find here is people are not submitting themselves to the righteousness of God because they don't believe there's a God.
Mm-hmm.
They don't believe in the righteousness that God's Word establishes, and so they establish their own righteousness, which is nothing more than humanism. And we see when we have that humanistic philosophy in our lives, then we're going to do nothing for the good of mankind. It's all going to be for our own self-benefit, even to the hurt of someone else. We see that taking place right now.
No doubt. And this goes right back to creating your own God. You are a self-will worshiper at this point. Instead of worshiping God and His will, What we end up doing is worshiping and serving our own self-will. And our self-will is what we have determined it, whatever it is it wants to be. And this is exactly what Darwin was talking about. We just throw God's morality out the window, and we do whatever our own instincts tell us to do and have absolutely nothing to do with God. One of the reasons that evolution is so popular is because when you believe in evolution, you don't have to believe in God's standard. And the fact of the matter is there are not many people in this world, especially people in leadership positions, that care anything about the righteousness of God or the morality of God. As a matter of fact, you just keep it away from them because they do not want to be subjected to it. They do not want to be confined by something that God has said.
Exactly. And so what we see here, now remember, this is a live call-in talk show, 254-445-2473. So we see that evolution being taught in our school denies the credibility of the Bible. It denies that there is a God. It denies that there is a moral standard. And in thus doing so, evolutionists have created their own God.
Mm-hmm.
When the Bible says that God made man in his own image, you know, Genesis 1 and verse 26. But the evolutionists have created a God in man's image,
mm-hmm.
and their God is humanism. Their God is their own self-will, and therefore not submitting to God's righteousness, they've established their own set of laws, a law which means simply I do what I want, and I don't care about anybody else. I don't care about God's righteousness. I don't care about the Bible. And we see that taking place, and that all comes and stems from evolution.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the question that I struggle with, David, in knowing that all this is true, what we've talked about, why do people believe in evolution? That's a good question, isn't it?
It's a very good question, and there are several answers for that. And I would like to throw out there first that the reason that people believe in evolution, even our children in our school system, is because of intimidation. If you do not believe what I'm teaching here, if you don't pass this quiz about evolution, then you are going to fail this class. Immediately we are intimidated, but it goes way beyond that. You see, since most folks want to be thought that they are educated folks, as they have been led to believe that all educated people believe in evolution, they have defected to this Darwinian camp, the camp of Darwin. Most of these individuals couldn't even cite a solitary argument in the defense of evolution, but they simply believe it is a fact because the scientists say so, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
And because all these educated scientists with all of these degrees behind their name, the PhDs and whatnot, because they say that it's true, it seems like it's got to be on pretty safe ground to say, well, yeah, if he believes it, then I can believe it, and then it's going to be okay. But informed people should know better than that.
Exactly. So you ask them, but why do you believe in evolution? Well, because all the scientists teach
mm-hmm.
that evolution is true. Well, what's the evidence behind it? Well, all the smart people believe it.
Yeah.
Isn't that ridiculous? And what we're going to see as we look through here today for a moment, we're going to see that, well, you know, evolution is taught in our science classes, right, David?
Mm-hmm. It is.
And what we need to realize is that evolution is not even in the realm of science.
Well, truly now, before we go on here, well let me say this first, 254-445-2473. We would welcome your call. Jump in on the conversation. If evolution is not in the realm of science, in what realm should it be taught? Philosophy?
It's a philosophy. It's not in the realm of science.
Now, isn't that interesting? Because in every biology class, this is what you're going to get,
mm-hmm.
evolution. Not in your philosophy classes, but in your science classes, as if it were a scientific fact. Now, the reason that it does not belong in science is because of the definition of science. Is this not true?
Exactly. The Oxford Dictionary defines science as a branch of study which is concerned with a connected body of demonstrated truths and observed facts.
Repeat those last four words.
Demonstrated truths and observed facts. In other words, it has to be something that can be measured by using the five senses. You know, what do we have? The hearing, the smelling, the tasting, the seeing, the feeling.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be things that are observed. And but, you know, you cannot see, you cannot taste it, you cannot feel it. And all of those things are needed for it to fall into the scientific process. None of those things can take place with regard to evolution.
So it's got to be a demonstrated truth and an observed fact. And throughout the years, we have had people come up and say, well, now let me show you this. But what they are showing us are a bunch of things that have been altered and recreated in their own scientific way to prove a falsehood that they are holding up as a truth. And there are a lot of scientists through the years that have been proven to be absolute frauds, Tom, in trying to prove what is not provable, because there is no evidence of this evolutionary a theory to make it stand.
Let me give you one example real quickly, and when I give you the name of it, you're probably going to kind of say, what in the world are you talking about? But it's called the embryonic recapitulation hoax. You probably say, what in the world? Well, if you saw it in the textbook, you'd know exactly what it was. What it is, they believe that in the development of an embryo, this is what was being taught in our schools, in the development of the embryo, they believe that you would see the process of evolution taking place in the human embryo. And they taught that for years as being truth, David, and I remember it very vividly in our textbooks in schools. But we came to find out that the fellow that came up with this theory, he falsified his drawings, and he was exposed and convicted by university court. But there was no rebuttal in our textbooks. It was just simply put in there and then quietly taken out. An example a scientific fraud that was never addressed publicly, but they used it when it was to their benefit.
Well, you know, when I saw that picture that you're talking about in my history book, I automatically thought, how then, if this is true, how then does the Bible, how does that work? Well, now, when you start creating doubt in a bunch of kids' minds, that are and have been guided by God's standard of morality, but now you've automatically put a doubt in that kid's mind, 15, 16-year-old kid, 17-year-old kid. They are the smartest people on the face of this earth, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
You'll never be any smarter than you were the day that you were 16. And now these 16-year-old kids are looking at this, well, if that's wrong, if the Bible's wrong and this is right, because I've seen the picture now, here's my tangible evidence, here is my scientific proof, if that's right, then the Bible's wrong, and automatically your system of morality is right out the window.
Exactly. What we learn from this, David, is that there are frauds in science.
Mm-hmm.
Another interesting one that is called the Piltdown hoax. They found what they call was the Piltdown man.
Mm-hmm.
And what they believe was that they found the missing link. That's what they've been looking for. The half man, half ape skull or fossil, so they can prove that there was that evolutionary process.
Well, now, let's just stop right there. In that evolutionary process, we also saw the drawings in our book.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what the ape looked like, and you have about six or seven graduations mm-hmm. of the ape into the man until he's walking straight and upright again. And we see these picture drawings, and all along they're teaching us, yes, this is how we evolved. And now here comes this guy named Piltdown, or that's a place in England, I mm-hmm. think. The Piltdown hoax comes, and now we have evidence. We've got tangible evidence that this drawing that we've had in our science book all this time is true. Is that not correct?
Well, that's what they thought.
Yes.
That's what they wanted us to think.
Right.
But in 1950, there was a dating method that was developed, and in 1953, it was determined that the Piltdown Mound was a hoax. What they had done was they had taken the skull of a human being some 2,000 years old and attached the jaw of a modern monkey to it, inserting some human teeth, and called it the missing link. You know, there's a very important lesson to be learned from all this, David.
Mm-hmm.
We do not need to be intimidated by the so-called discoveries of the unbelieving world. Not all discoveries are fake, of course. But what we need to realize is there are a lot of falsities out there. As a matter of fact, of all of the so-called evidences of evolution out there, only 1% comes from any kind of fossils. And there are no missing link, any kind of transitional things out there. There's not one single fossil out there that has any kind of transitional form in it. Not one single one. And the one that they did have, they thought they had, well, was a hoax.
254-445-2473. What we see here is that there are some frauds out there. They are so determined to get this theory proven. We've got generations of scientists that still believe this, and it is so subtle. When you watch your television, and I love the Discovery Channel, I love the National Geographic Channel, but I love them because I like to watch the animals, and so do a lot of other people, but they are anti-Bible. Make no mistake about it, because every time these people say millions and millions of years ago, when that is our red flag right there, we ought not to be intimidated not one little bit by that saying, because this earth is not that old.
Exactly. And that really brings us to our next vital point in all this, and that is the age of the earth.
Right. And this is a biggie, because without time, evolution cannot happen.
Exactly. And that's the most important thing they need, time and lots of it. The evolutionists blatantly assert that the earth is billions of years old, and they are forced into this assertion, for without eons of time at their disposal, evolution is impossible. And yet they need all this time. You know, let's consider, David, some obstacles that scientists have in trying to ascertain the age of the earth. You know that there is no scientific methods which can prove in any absolute sense the age of the earth. Not one single scientific method to prove it. And yet, what are they saying? Billions of years old. And all scientific datings, we need to realize, are based on certain assumptions. For example, who was there in the beginning to start the clock so you know how to date that time?
Well, no human being was there.
See, David, here are things that are necessary for an accurate timer. You have to have readable units, understandable scales. It must be accurate within millions of years or fractions of seconds. You must know when the timer was started and what the reading was when it was started, and it must run at a uniform rate and must not be disturbed in any way. Well, needless to say, the alleged scientific chronometers of the evolutionists do not meet these basic standards. And yet, what do our textbooks tell us, David? Well, they tell us that the earth is what?
Billions of years old. Perhaps you've seen these geological timetables. What you see, these again, pictures in our biology books and science books. These geological timetables, And they will say, well, this strata is X number of years old. And you say, well, now how do you know that? And they will say, because that rock is in that strata. Mm-hmm. Well, what does that mean? It's, well, that rock is millions of years old. And because that rock is in that strata, that means that this strata is millions of years old. Well, what is it? Is it the strata that's millions of years old, or is it the rock that's what we have is circular reasoning here. The rock is a million years old. How do you know that? Because the strata is a million years old. Who told you that? Well, how do you know that? How do we determine that?
One of the amazing things, the most amazing things I've ever seen, David, you know that strata thing you're talking about, mm-hmm. there where the lower strata is the oldest.
Yes.
And as you progress up there, you have different stratas, and each one is getting younger, but the lower ones are the oldest. Well, they have uncovered stratas where they claim it to be billions and millions and gone way up, and running prostrate through that strata is a tree.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how did that occur? Well, it was not, you know, that tells us one thing about this so-called strata, that they are not millions of years old. As a matter of fact, they were developed because of the worldwide flood from Genesis, the book of Genesis, and that tree was running prostrate through the stratas that they say developed over millions of years. Well, I tell you, David, if he had a tree that stood up over a million years and uncovered, what's going to happen to it? It's going to rot.
Right.
This tree was covered quickly. And all these strata layers that they claim to be proving that the earth is millions of years old, again, is nothing but a hoax. They're claiming it to be a million years old because they say it's a million years old, and there's not any proof whatsoever.
Even the carbon 14 dating system, mm-hmm. that so many of these scientists put so much reliability into, has been shown to be 250,000% wrong.
Mm-hmm.
250,000% off of the target. It has been proven that they have been that wrong on their estimations of the age of the on the age of the earth.
And you know, all of these so-called methods of indicating that the earth is billions of years old,
mm-hmm.
do you know that there's also some 75 methods that prove the earth to be relatively young?
75 methods.
And yet, we're never told that in our textbooks.
No, we're not. We're not.
We're just mentioned these other ones, these so-called evidence that prove that it's old, when in reality we have a young Earth. Well, David, how old is the Earth?
Well, this is something that parents need to get a hold of.
Mm-hmm.
We do know this. Even science will tell us this. The oldest living thing on the face of this Earth is the bristlecone pine tree. And that bristlecone pine tree is barely 5,000 years old. That is the oldest living organism on the face of this earth. So what we see here and what we've talked a little bit about the fraud of science. We've talked about the inability of science to prove the theory to be factual. We have talked about science not being science at all, but it is a philosophy that is taught as science. We've taught all these things, and we've seen all of these things, and we need that other hour that Robert was trying to give us, Sam, mm-hmm. to finish this thing over. That is Sam. I know Sam's listening. He's eating, but I know he's listening. What we need to do, and what we tried to stress earlier in this program, is parents, don't wait for the government to teach your child what mm-hmm. the truth is. Learn the truth yourself. And teach the truth to our children. Even our teachers, one of the things we didn't even touch, one of the problems that we have, Tom, is that even our teachers are not equipped to teach creationism because they themselves don't know.
Exactly. And what's sad is a lot of our science teachers are truly evolutionists.
Sure.
And so we're going to have those who disregard, and will not give fair and equal treatment with a creation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, wouldn't that be the fair thing to do, to put them side by side and let the truth, let the evidence come forth to see which one is right?
Absolutely. That would be the fair thing to do. Let the child at least look. But we talked about one of the reasons, why do people believe in evolution? It is intimidation. And what our school system is teaching our children is, you better believe in evolution or you will be stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And our children have to fight that at a very, very early age from some wise people in their own eyes. Tom, we are out of time, and we didn't even get to where we thought we might even get tonight. But I just want to say one thing. Parents, teach your children. Parents, familiarize yourself with the creation of the Bible so that you can teach your children. Grandparents, you take the step to do it if your parents won't do it. We need to get this taught to our children so that they themselves will be able to have an anchor in God's Word. Mm-hmm. God bless America and God bless our troops. Tom, you got the last word.
And if you have any questions or you want more information about proofs that disprove evolution, go to our webpage, www.harrisonmoore.org. Look up David or my email address there. Email us a question asking for information that disproves evolution, and we will be happy to send you the information because we want you to teach the truth to your children. We'll see you next week.